All right. Yeah, so we, again, this is Brother Jackson. We left off last Sabbath with chapter 2. Believe, let me verify where we left off for a minute. We're almost done with chapter 2. Yeah, we left off. We did chapter 2, verses 17 to 25 last Sabbath. And so today we endeavor to finish chapter 2 to start chapter 3. So we will be reading from chapter 2, verses 26 to 29 today. That's what we'll continue with. So this has to do with the congregation in Thyatira. And it was a congregation in very good standing, but it was a tolerant, it had a to, it was tolerant. It allowed some those with one with a Jezebel spirit and to deceive the congregation and into sexual immorality, all sorts of bad behavior. I don't want to read the whole thing. But Elohim just warned the minute the Yeshua warned the congregation, the leader of that congregation, that if they don't repent, that if that person, if the people involved don't repent, he will come and fight against them with his sword, the word of his mouth. Right? So he wants them to repent. He says, I will strike her children dead, that all the congregations may know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. Okay. So in verse, so, and he said to them, but to the rest of you, that's to the rest of those in Thyatira, which were doing the right thing, he said, hold fast. He says, what does it say? He says, only hold fast what you have until I come. What they have, it was described in verses 19 and so on. They were doing pretty well, other than tolerating these false teachers. So verse 26 6 says, to the one who conquers and who keeps my words until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will, verse 27, he will rule over them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces. Even as I myself have received authority from my father, and I will give the morning star, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. So he offers this congregation rulership over the nations. I will give authority over the nations. And as I mentioned a little bit last week, this authority can mean in every way, but primarily and prominently, it is a way of overcoming the nations through good. Remember what it says? Do not overcome evil with evil, but I'm sorry, do not be overcome of by evil, but overcome evil with good, right? So the way that Messiah does things is to change the heart. And I believe Brother Richard at some point, I don't remember if it was yesterday or another one of the meetings, he was reading particular writing that alludes to that. So how he converts the heart. He's not coming to so much force people to do things, not yet, not in that regard, but he's converting the nations. Because the scripture says, as we'll read further on in the book of Revelations later on in the later chapters, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of Elohim and of his anointed. So when he says dash them to pieces, yes, ultimately Messiah will destroy, literally destroy nations. But here it's a sense of referencing that you will convert the nations, you will destroy the works, the darkness in them, and they will be converted. They will be come apart, turned to righteousness. He will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. So what will you have to rule if you've destroyed everything, right? You'll have nothing. Because you will rule over them. So that rulership means it's more of tearing down every false imagination. It's converting the soul. It's turning them to the path of righteousness. And by so doing, destroying the works of wickedness in their midst, the works of Satan in their midst. So, verse 20, and I will give him the morning star. The morning star. So we read more about the morning star. The morning star is the day star. You've also heard the day star. And Peter speaks, until the day star dawns in your heart. I need to do more research on that to say. But the morning star, I would say this much in context. It has to do with a spiritual enlightenment. Not an enlightenment in the sense of New Age, far from that. But it's understanding the things of Elohim and partaking of the divine nature of Elohim. So you are in, the light of Elohim is in you. And I'll find out more as to what the morning star is, and can try to share more about that another time. But I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. And again, this, in other words, whatever this congregation was said to this congregation, Thyatira, to the congregation of Pergamum, to the congregation in Smyrna, into the congregation of Ephesus, all the congregations need to be aware of them. Not just the seven, but all the seven and all congregations everywhere must heed what Elohim is saying to these congregations so we could make sure we're doing the right thing. Okay? So I conclude here with chapter 2 of that. Now, chapter 3 is to the congregation in Sardis. End quote. The words, it says, and to the angel of the congregation in Sardis, right? The words of him who has the seven spirits of Elohim and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my Elohim. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. Okay? So that's almost similar. Similar warning in a way to that was given to the congregation of Ephesus. Remember your first love. So anyway, let's start with verse 1 and we'll touch that point on verse 3. So unto the angel, again, the angel is the elder or the person in charge of the congregation, of that particular congregation, the congregation in Sardis. And here the Messiah describes himself as the words of him who has the seven spirits of Elohim and the seven stars. The seven spirits of Elohim are, what did it say here? The seven spirits of Elohim. We'll have to see the definition later on. We were given, because I don't want to skip too much ahead, we were given the definition of the seven stars and the seven candlesticks. We haven't heard what the seven spirits are, but I can tell you quickly that from the book of Enoch and other book, the seven spirits are the seven angels of presence. Okay, so let's not confuse the seven spirits with the seven stars, because the angels, the stars in Messiah's hands, are actually the leaders of the congregations, and these are seven star. These seven stars are in Messiah's hands, not. As he says, as for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw at my right hand, these are the leaders, and so on. And the lampstands are the congregations. But the seven spirits of Elohim are before the throne of Elohim, and they are it's referring to something different. Okay, so there are the seven spirits and the seven stars. So the seven stars are the seven leaders of the congregation. So he says, "I know your works." He knows you have the reputation of being alive. Okay, so people, it doesn't matter what people think, how great people may think we or anyone is. It's what Elohim thinks. It's what Messiah thinks. That's what matters, because what Messiah thinks is what Elohim thinks. What Elohim thinks is what Messiah thinks. They have one spirit, one mind, and Elohim is the head of Messiah. So you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Does he cast them away? No. He comes to them. He says, "Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die." Some things are dead. Some things are about to die. Don't let them die. "For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my Elohim." He says the axe elsewhere, Messiah said the axe is laid at the root, and whatever is does not bear fruit, my master prunes away, will cut off, right? So he says, "For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my Elohim." Remember what you receive and heard. Go back. Remember I said the ancient past? There are many things that are claiming to be quote-unquote churches or congregations, or they even use Hebrew terms, shul, synagogues, whatever, or Greek terms, synagogues. You know, they boast of things, but there's no power. As is written somewhere, they have a form of divinity, of Elohim's ways being in them, but there's no power. It's just show. It's just false. It's just words. 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 There's no true works. Remember what you receive and heard and keep it and repent. So we have to go back to the ancient past. Go back to the truth. That was the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The truth that the apostles in the first century proclaimed, being prophets, and handed down to the first century believers. For me, and again, others can choose, but for me, I stop at the first and second century. Anything, any other new teaching, if it's a new teaching, I don't subscribe to it. Okay, I only follow just as the scriptures, the law, the prophets and the apostles. That's it. That's what it's founded on. And the first century bishops who followed the apostolic teachings. So we need to keep it and repent. We need to turn back to it. As I said concerning the book of Ephesus, we just can't continue on and not repent. Oh, I messed up here. Oh, I better continue. No, you don't continue. You have to repent. You have to return to the point where you were right. That's why it says again, remember what you received and heard. Obviously from the beginning. You have to go back to where you left, where you were right. You can't just skip ahead, continuing where you were wrong. You must repent and so have that error, that transgression, removed, excised completely from your life. So it's blotted out. We want that blotted out. We want our mistakes blotted out. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know what hour. So there's these visitations. I try to tell people, yes, Yeshua is going to come one day in the sight of all who are alive at that time. Yes. But he does come. He will visit us individually, collectively. He does. We have to understand that. And when he comes, he'll either bless us, finding us doing what we're doing, or we'll have trouble, we'll have chastisement if he doesn't find us faithful. So the teaching of where he says, watch and make sure we're doing things right is not just about when we finally returns to rule. It has to do with him coming us find in our daily life, in all of us, coming to find us doing what we're supposed to be doing. He comes individually. As I stress, he judges individuals. He judges entire families. He judges entire communities, entire countries, the whole world. He's sitting on his throne judging. And he'll bless or bring trouble to his people, as we see here, if we don't do what's right. So we need to be making sure we do what's right. Because we'll come at an hour that we don't know. Verse 4. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis. People who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white. So they still, at large, the congregation, that congregation was in bad shape. But they have a few. And those few, Messiah is not going to be unjust to judge them as the whole of that congregation. No. For the few that's doing the right thing, in the midst of that dead congregation, he will bless. He says, yet you still have a few names, a few in people who have not soiled their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Not of themselves, worthy declared by Messiah, that they are worthy. He declares that they're worthy. So we need to also think about this. That's why we need to be open about the false groups out there. Just because someone is part of a Sunday church or whatever, that be careful, because that person might be willing to listen. As our brother Richard was reading earlier, you know that the division, we don't cast anyone out. People will come, they will either unite with us or they will reject us, but we reject no one. And I've said that before to everyone. I've said it to individuals. We never, Yeshua says to those who come, that will in no wise cast out. And we ought not to cast out anyone, but people will cast them, reject. Now that's different from when you're part of the congregation. If you are part of the congregation and you are doing wrong, we have to loving you exclude you. If I'm doing wrong, you have to lovingly exclude me if I don't listen, if I'm sinning. This is not a matter of understanding of calendar. No, this is a matter of breaking the law, breaking the commandments, breaking the covenant. If I'm doing that and I'm not listening, you guys say, Brother Jackson, until, you know, we love you, but until you get, you know, you need to repent. Until you do that, because you're not listening, you can't fellowship with us. Because by so doing, you're helping me consider, you're helping me see my problem. But the strangers, those who are outside of us, who come to us, we don't reject. They will either join us or reject us. Let me try to finish here. So it says, you still have a few names. Going back to the people in other congregations, if we have an opportunity, if you're strong enough, only if you're strong enough, visit those groups to minister to them if they will allow it. Because sometimes by rubbing shoulders with people, there are people out there that are in those groups that are there because they feel that's the only thing. But Elohim is working in their hearts, and they're just looking to meet someone. So if when we do that, we will draw those that are being called. All right, so let me try to finish. So you will walk with me in white. The white robes that we will see later is the righteousness of the saints, but it's also the new body that Apostle Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 15. In the books of Corinthians, he speaks about the resurrection, what the body is like. So that's what that's referring to. He will walk with me in white. I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. So this person will be fully received, just like that stone, that white stone, right, that we read about in for the congregation of Pergamum. They receive a white stone. The white robe kind of represents even beyond that. This person is fully received, fully a part of the family of Elohim, of the resurrected life. And I will confess his name. I will confess his name. Wow. You're going to confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I will confess his name, he says, before his angels. So he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregation. So we need to make sure that we're doing good works, and that our works are, we have finished our work, that we do a good work. It's not how many, but it's the quality. It could be five, it could be two, it could be one, but the quality has to be important. All right, thank you, dear brethren. As we're so far, we're just learning about the conditions of the congregations. As we progress, we will start seeing different types of information in the book of Acts. I'm sorry, in the book of Revelations. Thank you. I look forward to any comments or questions you may have during the sharing time. Thank you.